stuck out here on a one-way track. Still each day you share the breeze with each ghost and memory. Still each day you share the breeze with each ghost and memory. Still each day you share the breeze with each ghost and memory. Still each day you share the breeze with each ghost and memory.
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Ben. You are listening to Blizz Quake. Welcome back. I hope you are doing well. Yeah, today we're probably going to be just playing mostly just music and kind of seeing what we're feeling. So, yeah, welcome to the show. I'll just get started. This is a song by one of my close friends, someone I will soon be traveling with, and this is his newest release, so I thought it would be fun to play it.
The devil, you know, is better than the one that you don't. Believe that doing what you're told will get you what you want. Another day of fighting with my vices. Just nod your head and pray. Another day, another heavy crisis. So for letting me die in the land of the free. Don't care much for God these days. It's better to pray to an AR-15. I'm glad that getting sick makes everybody bankrupt. Don't need to think about it, just enough to stay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. it says it, baby. Sunday afternoon, and I'm still in bed with you. Nothing else I wanna do. Order from that place you like. We don't need to go outside. Something about you feels so right. Can we stay like this forever? White dress or whatever. I keep dreaming there's somewhere we grow old together. It's you, love it's so easy to do. It says it, baby. Oh, think that I'm falling for you. It says it.
Met you at the right time. See you and I'm still excited. Sitting in the shadow of mine.
Think that I'm falling for you, for you.
I'ma tell our kids about this someday.
Hello, everybody. You are joined by a very special guest from our show, a longtime fan of the show, as well as also an early contributor to it. He is the reason why the show used to be called Miami Blizzquake until he decided to leave the show. And now it is just Blizzquake, which is weird because it probably should just be called Blizz. You are listening to Chris.
First of all, big fan of the show, of course, obviously, as you know, as one of the founding fathers of this cinematic universe, audiovisual universe. I'd like to just clear the record and say I left due to salary disputes. You know, I just felt like I wasn't getting paid enough. And so I just want to be completely candid. I know that might cause some problems with my agent, but I just wanted to know the truth. I know everyone's asking.
Yeah, thank you for setting the record straight. We here at WMFO have all been struggling with both our union as well as not being paid enough and simply not enough vacation time or flexibility in the schedule. So
no, it's a really big problem affecting our industry right now.
Yeah, I appreciate you for bringing light to it. You've been a long-time contributor to the cause, and I mean, for that, we're all very thankful. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
So this show is now called Blizzquake?
Yeah, it's been Blizzquake for probably two or three seasons now.
But you got to get... But the quake is just... you know?
Yeah, no, and we dearly miss Daniela. I mean, I saw her recently, last time I was in New York. She is doing exquisitely, thank you for asking. just absolutely thriving. You know when sometimes you like go and meet somebody and they're just like absolutely killing it in every single way? That would be Daniela. And we are sad to see that when we pushed her out of her nest, she actually flew, because that meant that she did not get to return to the nest.
Wow. Poetic.
Yeah, I think so. I'm really on a poetic streak tonight, I would say.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you're saying it, not me, but you're completely right.
Yeah, so for all of you listeners out there, which are unnumbered because of the vast quantity and also because the system that tells us is down, this is Chris, and like I said, he has been on the show. He was the founding father, as he so elegantly said, and he and I actually have not talked to each other mouth to mouth in just so long. So he's gonna catch me up on his life. I'm gonna catch him up on my life a little bit, and we're gonna do so publicly, in a way that is forever safe to the internet and will affect all of our future endeavors. So
that's what it's all about, baby.
So Chris, how have you been? Catch us up.
I'll give you the Spark Notes version. So it's mid-August. I went to the National Aquarium in Baltimore, which is pretty cool.
What'd you see? What kind of fish?
Oh my god! Don't even get me started on all that. Moray eels, dolphins. I know dolphins aren't a fish, but you know, they're aquatic. They're in the aquarium, not in the fisharium. No, that joke didn't land.
That's okay. It's live though, so
no take two. Anyways, saw like sand tiger sharks,
reef
sharks, and giant stingrays and eagle rays, and it was just an amazing experience. And you know, Baltimore, I'm a big fan of The Wire, great TV show, but doesn't necessarily paint Baltimore in the brightest light. But so going to the city and, you know, eating crab dip and going to the aquarium and stuff really cleared up a lot of the the mystery around it. And, you know, it was a short Amtrak right away. I don't think we have many D.C. area listeners tuning in today, but, you know, if you are in the D.C. area, give Baltimore a shot. You know, she's our uglier little sister, but, you know, you got to give her some love, too.
Tell us about the crabs. Oh. Tell us about the touch tank also.
Oh, I touched a horseshoe crab, and it felt weird. It was, I didn't even think about touching the stingray because, you know, Steve Irwin.
Yeah, Steve Irwin. It's too soon.
I just don't care for stingrays. They freak me out. As cool as they are, I don't need to touch them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so that was a thing. And then I spent 2 full weeks traveling. I went to Sacramento for a conference for work. Never been to Sacramento. Was honestly, frankly, underwhelmed by the city.
Yeah, I remember you saying that it wasn't for you. But I don't know if I feel like it got a bad edit. Like, I think that it is a good city, but I understand that you didn't love it.
Well, I also was staying in an area that I don't think was the most savory, per se. And I was stuck in a hotel for a conference the whole time, running the conference. So it's not like I was, like, going around seeing the area, going on hikes and stuff. I was there for work and having like 12-hour days. So when I was like done with work, I just DoorDashed food to my hotel room and just called it a night. But the little I did see, I saw some weird stuff go down. So it wasn't the biggest motivator to keep going and exploring the area in the limited time I had. But the good news is I got to fly in to San Francisco first and see some friends I hadn't seen in a while. And then I flew out to Boston, saw you briefly, got some ice cream, which was great.
Sure did.
And then the next night, drove up to New Hampshire, camped in Canton, New Hampshire. And then the next day, woke up bright and early at 5 a.m. and did the hardest hike of my life.
Why was it so hard? I feel like, yeah, talk to our non-naturey listeners out there.
So to our non-naturey listeners, and as a recap for you, as I'm sure you somewhat remember, you, me, and a few others did a hike called the Kinsman Loop back mm-hmm. in 2020. That was like roughly 2 years ago. And on that hike, you know, we were on it for a while, and we were all exhausted. And I think someone forgot to bring lunch, so everyone was kind of just hangry. Not the best hike, but I still remember it fondly. But anyways, that's just the problem with New Hampshire hikes. They're steep, they're very rocky, they're very slippery, and they're more difficult than like the average hike. These trails are so old that switchbacks weren't invented when they were made, so it just kind of can be a stone staircase up the mountain and really can take the life out of you and really take the joy out of hiking, but it's still so satisfactory in the end that it's worth it. That being said, really painful hike in that not only were we the person and who I was with, we were climbing up this mountain. We did it ended up being a 12 or 13 mile loop.
Whoa.
But we were originally planning to make it like a 20 mile loop, and it was at the end of that first day. And well, so it was everything I mentioned. Sorry, I'm not telling this story super great, but I'm also trying not to curse. I know we're not supposed to curse on air, and frankly, it is. This just puts in perspective how much I curse and how much I need to stop doing this. So anyway,
you're doing a great
job.
Thank
you, WMFO, for making my mouth cleaner.
WMFO, the soap of your mouth.
The soap of the mouth. That's what they call it. But, so anyways, the other problem is that since we were doing an overnight camping trip, we were carrying all our food, a ton of water, you know, like sleeping bags and tents and stuff. And so that made the packs, you know, double or triple the amount heavier than it would have been otherwise. And so that made going up a stone staircase for, you know, gaining like 3,500 feet in elevation over 2 miles, just a kind of a nightmare. And, you know, at a certain point I was feeling, we were both feeling woozy and my legs felt like they're about to give out. And then we got to another one of these like big inclines and we were like, oh my God, what if we just turn around and go to that campsite nearby? And so we did that, and we had a lovely night. We made rice and beans, and it was, you know, it was awesome just camping in the mountains. It was very fun being in nature. And then we got down the mountain. We ate so many nachos. Oh, my God. Nachos and hiking and like a nice cold beer. Let me tell you, if that isn't the Holy Trinity, I don't know what is. I don't know if it's controversial.
Okay, I don't know if that's like controversial in the hiking community, but I would say I personally do not understand the allure of nachos. And I don't know if we're gonna ever see eye to eye on this though.
Yeah, I think for me it needs to be good nachos. I think like movie theater nachos where they just like put like cheese goo on it. It that doesn't do it for me. It's got to have the works. It's got to have salsa. It's got to have guac. It's got to have maybe like a chicken or a pulled pork or something.
Mm-hmm.
It could have good stringy cheese, you know? My mouth is fully watering right now. It's got to have like beans. It's got to have like, I don't know, green onions maybe? I don't know. It's
Are you versed in making your own nachos? Like, is that a thing you do?
I had a nacho phase back in the day. It's just deconstructed tacos, you know?
It is deconstructed tacos. It's like, yeah. But, like, how do you possibly get... Like, I have always struggled with getting all of the ingredients that are not chips onto all of the chips. Like, I don't feel like that has been a solved problem.
Oh, and that just goes down to the mise en scène, you know? Like, that... it requires more work than you think, because you really do need to get the cheese just right over all the chips. And there's always going to be a few dry chips, and there's always going to be a few chips that have too much cheese on them, in my opinion. I don't want it to be inundated in cheese, though I know some people might, but you just really need to learn how to, like, just to take those non-cheesy chips and kind of get the cheese on them just by, like, you know, equal distribution.
Okay.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I didn't realize I was so passionate about this.
What's weird is that I knew that you were, and you just haven't been platformed before.
I haven't been platformed. Don't deplatform me, please.
This man can't be stopped.
What is your favorite post-hike snack?
Okay, I don't know about if it's like my favorite post-hike snack, so I'm going to answer your question a little bit differently, but yes. I have this very vivid memory of this camping trip I went to when I was at camp. It was a Boundary Waters hike, or it was like a Boundary Waters canoe trip, so it was like a ton of portaging. I was pretty small back then, and I'm not sure if I'm, like, that much bigger now, but, like, those canoes are massive, and they're, like, made out of steel. I'm sure, maybe it's aluminum, but they're, like, I remember them being just so heavy, and the, like, Duluth packs were so heavy, and this was probably, like, a 5 to 7 day canoe trip, and at the end, we were just, like, we're on this, like, gentle river, and we pulled up our canoes on the shore, and they took out, like, these, like, bags of mini frosted wheats in like powdered milk that you can like add water to make it milk.
Not powdered.
No, Chris, I know it sounds so bad. This was like actually the best meal I've ever had.
Oh.
And I just I can't explain why, because like every aspect of it itself sounds terrible. Except like mini frosted wheat, like those could hit sometimes. But like this meal, it was just so good. Or like a peach cobbler in like a Dutch oven on an open fire. Like those are the two.
Whoa.
Yeah, we got pretty fancy at camp actually, I would say.
Oh, that's great.
But I don't know. I've never in my entire life been like, it is time for nachos.
Yeah, I disagree.
Hard disagree, I know.
This started like 2 years ago.
That is just when? Was that when we were living together this happened?
Yeah, that summer. COVID summer. I was just like really... one day I was just like, I need nachos or something. I don't know.
Okay, for our listeners at home, the thing that separates Chris and I the most is that we just do not see eye to eye at all on food.
No, we do not.
And we won't. And we've tried and we can't. The worst thing that Chris ever did to me, or near me, I guess it is to me, I consider it an attack.
Oh, is, no, you don't have to tell him about this.
Wait, I don't know if we're talking about the same thing. I'm talking about when we landed in Madrid and you were like, oh my god, they got McDonald's. And you like forced us to go get like some stupid American fast food, and we were in a whole other country.
No. I thought you were going to talk about the time I was making curry. And I accidentally put the cayenne pepper in too early. All of our eyes were like sobbing while I was making curry.
When you mustard gassed our apartment, yeah, that was bad too.
I thought you were gonna talk about that. That would be fair game. That was my lowest point ever in cooking, except for when I almost burnt down my kitchen because I froze. Addie's mom sent me home, from when I visited them last time with a bunch of snickerdoodles that are like that would be like easily frozen, and all I had to do is reheat them in the microwave for a minute. But I accidentally put it on the defrost setting, so it was in the microwave for 7 minutes, and my kitchen, my microwave almost caught on fire, and the plate got so hot that it exploded. So that is my lowest point. But the cayenne pepper incident is my second lowest point. But when we landed in Madrid, we actually went to a nice restaurant, I remember. It was actually two nights. It was really expensive, and the food wasn't even that good. We were new to the city and weren't oriented.
That's true. Okay, so yeah, I guess in full disclosure, that is the reality of what did happen, although Chris tried his darnest to make us go get, like, Burger King or, like, Wendy's or something.
Okay, I don't know what it was, but Burger King in Spain, was pretty good.
It was the same.
I have a friend who's in the leadership rotational program at Burger King's corporate, like, structure called RBI, and every time I'm telling him, like, hey, you got to go to Spain and you got to learn what they're doing over there. Because if I'm being completely honest, Burger King Spain is running laps around Burger King America. Like, they really got to get their stuff together.
The thing about it is the same. But yeah, sure.
It's really not. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's.
I'm trying to think of the other absurd foods. Oh, here's one. Here's a classic Chris move. So Chris was a fan of smoothies just like everyone else is, and...
No, come on.
No, I gotta do it. I would walk... I can do it. I would walk into the kitchen, and there was my boy who was trying to make a smoothie, and like every... Okay, I'm just gonna do some remedial, just in case. Here's how you make a smoothie. You take frozen fruit, and you put it into the blender, and then you maybe like a milk... maybe like something sweet, like maple syrup or honey, that kind of thing, and you blend it. And like banana often, like, you know, smoothies. So our dear friend Chris didn't fully understand that, so I watched him make a smoothie, and it was just like interesting from like an anthropological standpoint. Like, I would watch him go into the freezer, pull out frozen fruit, great, he's doing good. And then he would put that into a bowl, sure, weird, unnecessary step, but whatever. And then he would put it into the microwave and microwave the fruit for a little bit so it was softer, and then he would put that into the blender. And then when I asked him about that, he was like, well, you can't do that. You can't just put it directly in, because then it's like you don't want to put ice into the blender like that. Was that your reason, Chris? That was your reason, right?
Maybe.
Okay, yep, so that was your reason. And then I was like, okay, I mean, that's wrong, but whatever. But then I like turned around and he was putting just actual ice into the blender. So why, Chris, did you microwave the fruit?
I don't know. That was something I like misinterpreted from my mom. She taught me how to make smoothies. She has a really nice like vitamin she got off Craigslist. She was talking about how like I think she used like a special like she used a fruit that needed to be defrosted or else it like wouldn't blend properly, even though it was a Vitamix, like really good. So it was that hard and it was struggling, and we are in our old rinky dinky like third generation blender. Like, I was like, oh, I don't want to mess up the blender with some fruit that's too hard, so let me defrost that. But then to regain the cold, I'll throw in some ice. I know it's silly, but that's just the truth. That's just what happened.
Sometimes when I try to explain who you are to people, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
Because
I contain multitude.
You can, yeah, you are multifaceted for sure. Because, like, you know everything. Like, you have almost been on Jeopardy, in my opinion. I think that you probably have gotten at least to, like, the final round, you know?
Well, I've been to the second round of Jeopardy auditions, but never more than that, unfortunately.
Do you think it could still happen?
Yeah, I just need to get my head back in the game.
Yeah. So all of this is to say Chris knows stuff, but then he does this.
And that is true.
It's sometimes hard to watch someone you love so much fail at making smoothies. That was
well, let me counter retort that, because your food making is some of the most frustrating stuff I've ever seen. As to our listeners out there, please let me know, truly, if you've ever seen someone at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday for a snack, just stick a knife in a block of Jarlsberg cheese, like the most mid cheese ever, and just over the course of an hour while watching The Bachelorette, just piece by piece, consume this cheese, meanwhile being super lactose intolerant.
So lactose intolerant.
And then just eat this piece by piece with no cracker, no fig jam or something, or you know something that would go well with a cheese. Just straight cheese, just like a big mouse. Or there was a time where he made this actually happened multiple times where he made tilapia at 9 a.m. tilapia and ketchup for breakfast at 9 a.m. on like a Wednesday. That's the outlaw by the Geneva Convention. And if you try to refute that, Ben, I would love to see you try.
Yeah. No, I think...
Hold on. We both are not perfect people, okay?
That is what makes us human. It's our flaws.
I also remember, you had a really big... you had a really big quail leg phase where, all you ate was quail legs.
I forgot about that phase.
You would rip those quail eggs.
Okay, here's the thing about quail eggs. For hard-boiled eggs, so inconvenient. But for, feeling a little fancy, so convenient.
Yeah.
They're, $3 bucks for, 18.
That is actually pretty crazy how cheap they are. I assume they'd be some sort of, luxury thing that only, dukes and marquees would have.
That's what I'm saying, though. But no, Star Market has them. And Star Market, not fancy.
That's true. Hey, it's great, though. We love our Star Market out there. Sponsor us.
Sponsor us, Star Market. I will name one food I like from you guys a week if you sponsor us. Quail eggs is the first one. I don't feel like there's very much else that Star Market, excels at, except they have the good pesto. But out of all the grocery stores I've been to, Star Market has some of the worst vibes.
Yeah. I don't know. You like Wegmans a lot, right?
I do like Wegmans a lot, and they have good vibes. They got a little train that goes around.
Oh, I love that train. Yeah, Wegmans is decent. The Everett Wegmans is good. The Alewife Trader Joe's, big fan, along with the Assembly Row Trader Joe's. Those are two elite supermarkets. I know you're not a big Trader Joe's person.
What are you doing out in D.C., though, where you get your food? Because they don't have a Publix.
I don't know how well you remember when you visited me, but my area, even though it's a nice area, is kind of a food desert. There's one supermarket that's a 15 or a 12-minute walk up the road from me. But it overcharges everything. When's the last time you if you were to see a big can of Quaker Oats, how much would you guess that would cost, even with inflation?
Under $6.
$10 at this place.
That's outrageous.
No, that's just absurd price gouging because they know they can get away with it. And that stuff gets me so irrationally, maybe rationally mad that I boycott that place. So I'll sometimes plan my day to be in the area of a Trader Joe's. There's three that are 30 minutes from me in each direction. And so in one of those neighborhoods, I'll try to coordinate it with that. Or I'll go to there's a few supermarkets that are 20 minutes away instead. Or recently I've done Instacart a few times when I've been desperate, but they upcharge everything, and so I do. That's a way to save money. So it's unfortunate, and it's probably the biggest reason to have a car in D.C., but it's still the pros of not having a car outweigh the cons for now.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, having a car is the worst thing that's ever happened. I don't remember if I told the story or told you the story. I'm just going to tell the story of the problem with having a car. So cars are incredibly expensive, and and my uncle fancies himself sort of a mechanic, and...
Oh, no. What happened?
Have I not told you the story?
Oh.
Okay. So, my uncle David, he fancies himself sort of a mechanic, and it was time for me to do my brakes on my car, because the metal scraping sound was not great, so I took the car to Rhode Island, where my uncle lives, And he was like, I've done the brakes on my own car all the time. Like, it's a thing I've done. I know how to do it. Great. Incredible. So I, like, stop at AutoZone. I pick up all the brake parts, and which was, like, in and of itself sort of a debacle because I don't really know what I'm doing. And we get there, and we start, I don't know if you've ever, like, tried to change a tire yourself, but, like, that's a whole thing. And, like, cars just, like, rust. Like, that's just, like, a thing that happens. It's, like, all cars will do this if they're, like, out. They're outdoors. There's elements, whatever. And there's salt on the roads. Like, it was just rusty. And that makes everything so hard. Anyway, long story short, we went to AutoZone, like, three separate times. It took, like, 10 hours to do four, like, all four wheels. And at the end of it, I get back in the car and I'm like test driving down a street. I go over a speed bump and I hear like a rattling noise, which was not there when we first started the project.
Oh my God.
And I was like, that means something's wrong.
Family.
Yeah. So something was wrong. And then I'm like driving home. And so I, like, explain this to my uncle. We, like, look at it. We, like, open up that wheel again. And we're, like, nothing looks wrong. And we think we did it right. We followed the YouTube video, whatever. And he's, like, I don't know. Go tomorrow. Like, take it to a mechanic. See what they have to say. And I was, like, is it safe to drive home? Like, it's an hour and a half. It's an hour, 30-minute drive, whatever. And he's, like, yeah. So I get back in the car and I start driving home. And I'm driving and I, like, definitely am still hearing the rattling noise. Like, metal, like, loose in the wheel or something.
That is not great.
Yeah, not great. And then I go over like a really big bump on the highway and I hear a piece of metal fall from my car and like kind of like clang in the distance.
No.
And then the rattling noise stopped. And then I took it to the mechanic the next day and I was like, I explained all of this to them and I was like, will you just like look in there? And he was like, and after he's like, yeah, I didn't see anything alarming. So that's where we are now.
All right. Well, let's hope it's okay.
Yeah, I was like, that's a misadventure. But I haven't died, and the car breaks enough.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Also, I want to make, if you need to play music, you could get back to it. I'm sure your viewers are captivated by our personal lives right now.
Oh, for sure. Chris, will you tell us one more story before you go? About anything you want. You can do it.
So I went to Tennessee last week for work to make a video to promote a community for doing good things with education. And we just, like, were in a high school for, like, 7 hours just filming these different programs the school had. So we, like, watched a welding demonstration and filmed that. And it was, and like, went to an aviation class and interviewed the teachers there and the students. It was very interesting stuff. It was exhausting. But, man, being back in high school, what an experience, you know, like, It's just crazy how time passes by. It's getting close to 6 years since you and I were in high school. And that to me is just, the passage of time is crazy. And it just feels like it's getting faster and faster. And I think I don't know that it's necessarily going to slow down. But it was a lot of deja vu. And oh my God, hearing a school bell, don't even get me started on that.
Oh my God. It's like when you're like calling someone else and then you hear like a Teams notification go off and you're like,
Yeah. No, exactly that. And before I leave, there's two things I need to do. But the first thing is, can I get a quick update about your life, Spark Notes?
Yeah, what am I up to? Things have been, like, pretty good, I would say, overall. I'm soon going on a trip to Italy, which I'm excited for. It's all very planned. Exciting. Chris knows all the details about that. I've mostly just been, like, sailing. I visited a close friend of Chris and I in Nantucket recently, got some of the fudge, went to literally every restaurant there.
Very exciting.
I went to a gallery opening for something in Somerville. Actually, this is super cool. If you're a Somerville-based listener,
awesome.
What? Yeah, it was about eviction and like housing in Somerville, but also like nationally. very interesting talking about that process, because, like, not that I think it's, like, incredibly unheard of, but just, like, you might not have personally experienced it, and there's a lot of ramifications. Anyway, it was super cool, super interesting. At the Armory in Somerville, so sort of, like, on Highland Avenue, great. It's very cool. I've been... Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of what I've been doing is, like, dodging COVID, because a lot of people in my life right now have been experiencing it, including myself, sort of, recently. And, I mean, like, going to, like, New York. I feel like I've been out and about a lot, which is good. I do love the travel.
Traveling is great. And you got a lot more ahead of you.
Yeah, I got a lot more ahead of me. And then hopefully to D.C. pretty soon.
That is a
work in progress. We will make that happen, though. And then, yeah, I mean, not a whole lot of stuff that I feel like is so savory to share on air, but but I'll give you the update on my ride home or something. But yeah, it's been good overall. And yeah, those are my big updates. Chris, would you like to read a little PSA so I can keep my radio show?
Yeah. So, to close us out, thank you all for having me tonight. It's been a pleasure being on Bluesquake. Pleasure as always. So, why not cover up your computer camera? If you have a computer with a webcam and you don't use it, why not cover the camera up with a piece of opaque tape? In addition to government programs, there's plenty of other malware and viruses that can hijack the computer's camera to spy on you. So, if you don't use it, consider covering it up. This has been a message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Thank you, and good night. Big fan. Have a great night, everyone.
All right, thank you, Chris. I will play you out. She's a demigod, oh, even though she's short, she is a
Hello, thank you so much for listening this week. This is Ben. You are listening to WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. You also heard from Chris today, who is a former host of this show. Yeah, it's been a good week. Thank you so much for listening to, once again, 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. You will hear and see from, you will see and hear from me again next week, and then I think soon after that the new schedule will come out, hoping to have the same time slot. So keep looking for that. If you want to listen, if you want to hear any of the songs that we played tonight, once again, you can find that on WMFO.org and check that out. Yeah, thank you so much for listening, and I'm going to play a couple more songs, probably just one, until the show actually officially ends, and then you'll have to wait until next week to hear these beautiful songs again. So, until then, take care. Thank you for listening.
Like some since 10.